First, can you just tell me what is your message here at the meeting for Aspen?
My message here at the meeting is really, the immediate deal is getting people up to speed on the importance of this election November 8th and understand what's at stake, not just at the presidential level, but up and down the ticket, and the importance of voting, and that if we want to see real change with the climate, and that it needs to happen November 8th.
Great. And Simi, do you want to add anything to that?
No, I mean, I think, like Jeremy was saying, that's kind of their main rally point right now. It's, you know, the home stretch for a lot of decisions or a lot of things that are going to happen and that will have huge implications on what our future looks like, especially as outdoor winter athletes and just, you know, winter enthusiasts in general. So, I think that's kind of the biggest focus right now of not only tonight, but just, you know, right now where we are in life and this time of year and everything leading up to that. So it's really big to be kind of pressuring that and getting people constantly thinking about what's going to happen soon.
So since 2007, has your message changed, or has it become any easier to get that message out? Are people more receptive?
The climate, there were times when we'd go to Capitol Hill and you couldn't mention the word climate change. I mean, there was so much, there were times when we would have to spend a lot of energy on discrediting or fighting with people about the science of climate change.
Protect Our Winter shows up at the meeting, which is a lot of focus on ski movies and outdoor enthusiasts are here. Is that an effective way? Is that the most effective way to spread your message, or are you preaching to the choir here?
The thing with Colorado is it's just such this battleground where what happens in Colorado will have ripple effects with the whole country and really in the whole world. So it's amazing the microscope on Colorado right now and why, you know, we're putting a lot of attention here. My speech was very brief because I felt like I was not trying to tip someone off the scale. But when you get to the meeting and you're talking to 500 people and an audience of a lot of people come from around the state that are influencers back in their hometown, that maybe there's a lot of people that are at this meeting that are like, yeah, I care about the climate. But turning them into voters and understanding up and down the ticket exactly what's at stake from the state level to the capital level, and getting them to want to understand the fine details of this election and take, you know, a small percent of their time where, yeah, they traditionally, if they're online, they're looking at ski movies and the weather report and what have you, but it shaking them and going, hey, you need to take a little bit of that time and understand who you're voting for and why you need to vote.
Yeah, so Simi, do you want to add to that? Like, what is the most effective way that you have found to spread the message?
I think a lot of it goes along with what Jeremy was saying, like reaching out to this generation and trying to really hammer home like why our message is really important and what, you know, the possible future looks like if people aren't going to take action right now. Just trying to really kind of reach out to this generation and all the, you know, generations below that, and making sure that the people that are really enjoying everything that a community like this has to offer, especially in the winter, that they're taking ownership of protecting that and protecting that feeling and that enthusiasm for living in a place like this and being able to ride and ski and, you know, just enjoy winter like that.
Right. So as environmentalists and skiers, how do we reconcile some of those inconsistencies when it comes to things like snowmaking or...
Right, so that hypocrisy. So How did a sport that has such a huge carbon footprint talk about climate change? Is
right.
that the question you're trying to ask?
Yes.
Well, I will say a couple things. One, yes, skiing and snowboarding and the resorts have a large footprint, but it's also a gateway to get people to appreciate the outdoors. And what there's no question that we need to get people connecting with nature. I would not be an environmentalist if it wasn't for my time on a ski lift. So I think that the world is not a better place if we stop running ski lifts. I think that it is a way to what I call Eco 101, is where you get these people to engage with nature and then want to protect them. Aspen is a great example of, it's like the private jet capital of the world, that obviously have a huge carbon footprint. But I think one of the big problems with the environmental movement is it's almost like you have to fill out an application to care about the environment. And the reality is, those people flying those private jets, we need those people. Those are smart, successful people. We need those people to change policy at the highest level. Those people are the ones that can change policy, that can really make significant, with their power, to get us off of the fossil fuels and into the renewables. They can have a huge impact on reducing our country's carbon footprint.
So what about snowmaking?
What about snowmaking? Snowmaking has a big carbon footprint. If you look at the track record of the efficiencies of snowmaking, it's gone way up. But the reality is we are at this point where we need snowmaking to be able to ski to the bottom of the mountain. Exactly where and how a ski resort operates their snowmaking, we are into calling in and not calling out.
Simi, you've had to ski some places recently. I think like Nordic skiing faces that snowmaking issue quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
So can you tell me about what you've seen?
We essentially travel the same circuit every year, starting in Scandinavia, moving down to Central Europe, back up to Scandinavia, and then to Russia at the end. And more we're seeing from the very first World Cup opener in Finland all the way through our spring races in March, we're seeing a lot more venues, even the high altitude venues at around 5,000 feet, not being able to provide natural snow, natural conditions for our races. So we're seeing a lot of snowmaking off-site and then trucking that snow to the race venues to create, sometimes as little as a 2.5 kilometer loop to race on. It's what we're seeing kind of on the global scale is definitely having a huge effect on ski racing and where we're traveling. And it definitely seems to be getting more severe each year. So we're seeing a drastic change in the conditions we are trying to train and race on, and hoping to change that soon.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.